Nativity.
And as we just heard, today's gospel is about the Annunciation of the birth of Christ to Saint Mary. And as much as it is an announcement, it's also it's also a calling. So God was calling Saint Mary to make room for the Son of God to be born in her. Right? He was calling her to be the means in which the Logos of the Father would take flesh to redeem humanity through. Right? He was calling her to bear the Son of God, who would preach the good news to the poor, who would heal the brokenhearted, who would give liberty to those who are in captivity, who would give comfort to those who are mourning, who would give sight to the blind, who would give hope and joy to those who are in despair, right? Just like the prophet in Isaiah says. So he's calling her to be the mother of God, right? No big deal. We could talk about how big of a deal this really is, but in many ways, each and every single one of us is also called to the same calling. Okay? So I'm not saying we're all Saint Mary, don't get me wrong, but what I'm saying is that just as God called her to bear him within herself, to give him to the world, he's also calling us to bear him and give him to the world as well. Okay? But even though we know that this is our calling, we don't always know how God brings that about us. We don't always recognize when God is trying to form Christ in us, right? So if anything, many of us think, at least want to, you know, God to work in our lives in a very neat and a very peaceful and very convenient way. That somehow being formed in us is a matter of a right that we claim, as opposed to a call to a specific life that we're actually called to live. But when you look at what happened with St. Mary, it's anything but predictable or convenient. Okay? It was very disruptive, it was very unsettling, and it was very scary in many, many ways. Right? So here's a young girl who would be serving in the temple and living kind of an ordinary type of life, and all of a sudden an angel tells her that she's going to bear the Son of God. So something tells me that this is not something that happens every day. So one could only imagine what she was actually thinking and feeling and processing as this was all happening to her. But I think what happens with St. Mary shows us how God enters into humanity, right? How he prepares our hearts to carry him and reveal him to the world. So the way God approached St. Mary is the same way that he also approaches us on a daily basis. There is a rhythm, there is a pattern. There's almost a divine sequence in the way God comes calling us to be bearers of his image. And I think if we, by God's grace, can recognize that pattern, then our hearts can become the womb where he is formed in us. So the first thing we see is that God disrupts. That's the first step in the pattern, is that God disrupts. So we have a very disruptive God, right? But not disruptive like the little kids in church, right? But it's a holy type of disturbance. It's a disturbance that is purposeful, it's a disturbance that's intentional, it's one that is loving also. It's a disturbance that calls us to something beyond ourselves. It calls us to something greater, something completely different than we want, than what we want or what we have in mind. So it's the kind of disturbance that interrupts routines that we've kind of settled into, or plans that we have and built for ourselves. So over and over again, we see that just that's how God does things. So Abraham was minding his own business one day, and all of a sudden, God tells him to move. Moses was shepherding sheep, and God tells him to go to Pharaoh and free the Israelites. St. Paul was on his way to kill Christians, and Christ tells him, I'm going to use you to spread the gospel. Now, I don't know what St. Mary was doing when Archangel appeared to her, but whatever it was, bearing Christ wasn't really in her plans. St. Luke even says that she was troubled at the saying. So she wasn't prepared for this at all. And God does with us the same thing on a daily basis. So sure, he doesn't always disrupt us in big ways, like be it to move somewhere or to serve or to preach or what have you. But he disrupts our habits. He disrupts our thoughts. He disrupts our decisions. So maybe I'm going about my life dead set on never talking to somebody else. God disrupts it and says that, no, forgive that person. Maybe I'm going about my life scrolling past somebody that I know I should check on, but God disrupts that and says, call them. Right, check up on them. Maybe I'm going about my life holding tightly to money, and God disrupts that and says that, no, give. Maybe I'm going about my life judging or gossiping people about people, and God disrupts that and says, no, be merciful. So these are the type of way God disrupts on a daily basis. They may not be big disruptions by any means, but they are powerful enough to change us to become, and they become epiphanies that lead us to the heart and the mind of God himself. They lead to Christ being formed in us. So God wants to step into our lives and disrupt it, not to fit in, but to actually elevate us. not to make us live according to the image and likeness that he actually created us on. So his disturbance isn't meant to harm us, to embarrass us, or to make us look weak, but it's meant to actually break open our hearts so that he can be formed in us. He wants to chisel away at our hearts of stone and make them living statues of him. Right? He wants to take us from being ordinary people to a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, as St. Peter says. And the disruption, that chiseling away, that breaking open of my heart is inconvenient. It is painful sometimes and costly in other times. But his goal is not really our comfort. Right? His goal is our transformation. So if you think about it, his disturbance is really grace. It's really mercy from him. It's love. Henry Nouwen puts it in a very beautiful way. He says, that is a great conversion in our life, to recognize and believe that the many unexpected events are not just disturbing interruptions of our projects, but the way in which God molds our hearts and prepares us for his return. So to add to that, not just of his return, but also his birth in us, right? These little interruptions. And naturally, when these disruptions happen, we ask questions, like when, how, why. Even St. Mary asked Archangel Gabriel, how will this be since I do not know him yet? And God doesn't shame her and tell her, you know, how dare you question me? But he explains. And that's the second pattern. So the second step that we see in that pattern is that when God calls, the first thing is he disrupts. The second thing is that he explains. Because he knows, as human beings, our understanding is very, very weak and very, very limited in many ways. So God is not trying to hide things from us, nor is he asking us for blind obedience. But he explains out of his mercy because he knows our lack of faith. But his explanation is not the type of explanation that we expect. Right? God really gives us a step-by-step plan. He doesn't always hand us a map or a timeline, but his explanation is simply revealing himself. That's all it is. Right? So when St. Mary asked, how can this be? God didn't explain the biology of the logistics of how this is going to work. Right? The answer was, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. In other words, what he's trying to tell her, this is my work, not yours. When Moses asked the same question, who am I to go to Pharaoh? Right? God didn't give him a strategy. He just said, I'm going to go with you. When St. Paul saw Christ on the road, he asked him, who are you, Lord? Christ didn't give him an explanation of what he was calling him to. He simply said, I'm Jesus that you've been persecuting. And it's the same thing with us. Right? When we ask, how am I supposed to forgive? How am I supposed to love this person? Why should I change this habit or to make this sacrifice or take this step? God doesn't give us an explanation. He just gives us himself. He says, I will help you. I will guide you. I will strengthen you. So his answer is not informational. The answer is himself. It's his presence. It's his spirit. It's his power overshadowing our own weaknesses. And if that answer is not good enough, I don't think anything will be good enough for us. Okay? Henry Nouwen says, your willingness to let go of your desire to control your life reveals a certain trust. And the more you get in touch with that divine power, the easier it will be to confess your basic powerlessness. So in other words, when we admit our limitations and trust him, we make space for him to actually lead us, to guide us, to slowly form us into the people that he created us to be to begin with. And only when we accept the invitation or the explanation will God actually begin taking us step by step towards his birth in us. So now that he's disrupted, now that he's explained, the third thing is that God does is that he invites. He invites. He doesn't rush, he doesn't pressure, he doesn't force. He simply waits for us to process that disruption, to sit with the explanation, and then he does something that reveals something about him. Right? He extends an invitation to work with him. Right? He doesn't order things, he doesn't demand things of us, he just simply invites. So with Moses, he disrupted him while he was tending sheep. He explained that he will be with him. But notice that God didn't really drag Moses to Egypt. But he simply invited him to join him in saving the Israelites. Same thing with St. Paul. God disrupted him on the journey to Damascus. He revealed himself as Christ to him. But even St. Paul wasn't forced into apostleship. He was simply invited into a new life. And with St. Mary, she was simply called. Right? She was never forced into this. God could have imposed the incarnation on her and manipulated her into it, but he didn't. He waited for her response. Part of me imagines that as Archangel Gabriel was explaining all of this to Saint Mary, that everything and everybody in heaven was kind of holding their breath on her answer. Like, is she going to do this or not? And it's both scary and beautiful to think about that the incarnation of the Son of God and the salvation of all of humanity hinged on a, let it be according to your word, from a young girl in Nazareth. But it did. And the fact that it did, and it was even an option for her to say no, tells you the amount of respect and dignity that God has for our free will. And he respects our free will because he loves us. And real love never really manipulates. Love means giving the person freedom, not forcing him into anything. Love means relationship, not control. Love means cooperation, not domination of the other person that's in front of me. So God doesn't override our will, but he simply invites. And just like in the disruptions, his invitations are not big and dramatic moments necessarily, but they show up in the daily decisions. It's the invitation again to apologize first, the invitation to hold my tongue, the invitation to be honest instead of lying, the invitation to be pure when temptation presents itself, the invitation to be compassionate when somebody is annoying, the invitation to be silent when I want to argue. So it's every single one of those moments, God is not demanding anything of us, but he's simply inviting us. He's saying, may I be formed in you here. May I enter into the space of your life. May I work with you on this decision. And from there, he leaves it up to us to decide whether to accept it or not. And at the end of the day, God can disrupt all he wants. He can explain all he wants. He can invite all he wants. But the decision is up to us. And that's the fourth step in the pattern when God calls us towards a transformed life, which is our surrender. I don't think when Archangel Gabriel told St. Mary that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, she was like, yeah, okay, I get it. Right? No, she didn't. Right? I don't think she had a clue how this was going to work. But that never really stopped her from saying, let it be to me according to your word. So her yes wasn't really rooted in clarity, but it was rooted in trust. She didn't surrender because everything was explained, but she surrendered because she knew who was calling her. She never really asked for more clarification. She never asked for any justification. She never asked to be convinced or for any guarantees at all, but she simply said, let it be to me according to your word. And it wasn't blind obedience because God doesn't call us to have a blind obedience, but it was surrender and obedience because on who was actually calling her. And what he was already done in her life. So she saw, and she saw what he's done in her life and that relationship. Right? So it wasn't blind obedience on her end at all. And I think a lot of times what stops us from accepting God's invitation to be born in us is because we're so unwilling to let go of ourselves, our comfort, our control, and our fears. We want to follow God, yes, but as long as he follows our plan. We want to say yes to him, but only if we understand everything first. We want to surrender, but on our terms. But that's not surrender, that's convenience. Right? As one of the saints reminds us, faithful submission to the will of God always and everywhere matters more to him than long fasts, strict disciplines, or even the most intense religious practices. So meaning that God is not looking for us to simply follow rules or check off spiritual tasks, but he is looking for a heart that truly makes space for him. A heart that is willing to trust, obey, and says yes, even when it doesn't really understand or see the outcome of it. When somebody asked St. Macarius, how should one pray? Right, he responded and said, it's not necessary to say lots of words. Just stretch out your hand to God and say, Lord, as you will and as you desire, lead me. For he knows what is good. And that's complete surrender. So real surrender calls us to move forward without necessarily having all the answers. It calls us to be uncomfortable. It calls us to be inconvenienced. It calls us to choose God's will over my own, to find peace in God's timing over my own timeline, to accept God's purpose over my fears. It calls us to be humble, right? To admit that I'm not really in control and I was never really designed or meant to be in control to begin with. But it ultimately calls us to be free. So the more I surrender to the ways God wants to be born in me, the more free I will be to love. more for you to forgive, no more for you to let go, to stay silent, to act with mercy, to live without fear, to do all the things that God is actually inviting me to. So with God, surrender doesn't mean imprisonment that we sometimes think it is. It means total freedom to live according to His image and likeness. To be human is what it means. But ultimately, again, this surrender is really up to us. Right? God does His part by disrupting, explaining, and inviting, but the final decision is really ours. We either do what St. Mary says, did, and say, let it be according to your word, or we hold on to ourselves and miss out on the life that He longs to actually give us. One leads to Christ being formed in us. The other leads to a life that remains unchanged, no matter how religious it may look like on the outside. Okay? So the choice is really, really ours. So as we walk towards the birth of Christ, I encourage all of us to reflect on, where is God trying to disrupt my life? Where is God offering Himself as the answer when we don't think we have, when we don't think we have the answer? Where is God inviting us to open the door and make room for Him? And my prayer is that as we identify these areas, that our answer to God is simply, let it be to me according to your word. And we'll end with this final quote that I think kind of encapsulates everything neatly. And it says, you are constantly facing choices. The question is whether you choose for God or for your own doubting self. You know what the right choice is, but your emotions, passions, and feelings keep suggesting you choose the self-rejecting way. The root choice is to trust at all times that God is with you and will give you what you need most. God says to you, I love you, I am with you, I want to see you come closer to me and experience the joy and the peace of my presence. I want to give you a new heart and a new spirit. I want to speak with my mouth, see with my eyes, hear with my ears, touch with my hands. All that is mine is yours. Just trust me and let me be your God. This is the voice to listen to, and that listening requires a real choice, not just once in a while, but every moment of every day and night. It is you who decides what you think, say, and do. You can think yourself into depression, you can talk yourself into low self-esteem, you can act in a self-rejecting way, but you always have a choice to think, speak, and act in the name of God, and so move towards the light, the truth, and the life. So God's deepest desire is for our hearts to be the womb where Christ Himself is formed in us, but He can't do that without our own let it be according to your word. So may we accept, or may we have the courage to say that every single day. Not once, not occasionally, but every single day. And let Christ shape our thoughts, our words, and our lives. May the glory be to God forever.